Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So hello and welcome to episode 4 of the To The Regiment, the Early Doors podcast with me, Ben Steele, and him.
Neely, that's me.
That's you. Excellent. How are you, Phil?
I'm all right, mate. And well, I'm not bad. Bit of a tough week, really, with the Reds losing on Saturday, to be honest with you. That wasn't great, but hey-ho, it happens, doesn't it? Best team won.
Now you know how it feels after February.
I don't know, yeah. But, you know, it was a nice day out. until 20 seconds past 3 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. My friend was in Prague on Wednesday night for West Ham.
Oh, really?
So I felt very happy for him.
Yeah.
But, gritted teeth.
But the sun's out and, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? Like I said, best team won. So, hey, you just have to accept it and move on. Come back stronger next year. Let's see.
Well, today is a slight change of pace. So, Phil, you and I have been going through the episodes, the last couple of episodes of this podcast. Today, we have our first special guest.
Whoop, whoop.
Ooh. So, when you and I spoke about who we see Early Doors through, character-wise, you said Ken.
Yeah.
So, we say Ken and Mel are like the soul of Early Doors. The heart is definitely two specific people for me. One's called Eddie and one's called Joan.
Oh,
and our guest today is Lorraine Cheshire. How are you?
Hello.
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 Yes, so all of them, not all, but a lot of the heart, and we spoke about this already, Phil, of Early Doors, I think, comes from Eddie and Joan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I heard it. You know, that they're the kind of life, and you know, they're the sort of warmth, aren't they? A lot of the time,
it was brilliant to play. And I remember on my first day of filming, I was thinking, God, I remember you said I was so one, I know, I was so nervous because I had to do that gyro gym and everything. But it was the audition for me, you know, when I came on that Saturday morning.
That was Caroline was in on that, wasn't she?
She was,
yeah.
And do you remember us? And as I was leaving, she said to me, job's yours.
Yeah, I know. We were like, bloody hell, it's not even yours. Job's yours, love.
Lucy runs after me and goes to me, you know, it isn't yours, Lorraine, but you know, honestly, I mean, that's absolutely fine. No worries. But I remember her saying, who's your favourite actress? I had to tell her that as well. And you all did actually. Oh, made me really, he just chatted. And I remember the cameraman was Mark Myloid, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at him now. I mean, we had fits and starts getting it made, didn't we, Lorraine? You know, to me, as you know, it took 18 months to get it commissioned, and then they sort of decommissioned it. BBC wanted it, and then I can't even quite remember why they just said, oh, we don't think it's ready yet. We don't think you're ready. And we were like ready to go. Yeah. But I think Caroline was having her problems at the time as well.
Yeah.
I think in hindsight, it's probably the best thing really, because it gave us more time to cast it and all that kind of stuff. Because I think one of the things with it, and obviously you're part of that, is that the casting was great, you know. Even if I do say so myself. No, I mean, it was really important for us to kind of make sure that everything was right with it, you know. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, because Mark and I, like, we did get on really, really well. We did have a fantastic relationship, and we did work. I mean, I used to look when he used to actually say my lines the same time as me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I used to think that was genius, and he'd go, like, I was watching the other day, and they put on a clip of when I do the millennium, you know, when I go,
oh, yeah, 2000.
He's going 2001, 2000. And you forget those little things, and you forget. To me, I just said to Ben, it wasn't a job. It was so much fun. I mean, every day, no one was like...
No, everybody loved it. You know, to be honest, on the cast, everybody just got on great. And we had such a lovely time. And you can't always, I mean, to be honest with you, and stuff I've done since, that was my first thing I'd ever sort of been acted in, you know.
Yeah.
And it's only afterwards you realise how lucky you are when you go on to other jobs and you think, oh man, you know, we just sit there, but in between takes, usually people disperse, go and get a coffee or whatever. We would all just sit there singing Considiate, singing different songs, wouldn't we, you know?
We did, you know, and we just laughed all the time. I mean, I remember the dinner party one. Do you remember that? And do you remember that first we had?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
with the tool belt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was what was her name? No, she used to get being really annoyed, didn't we? Because we'd be sort of asking about, what was her name? Can't remember.
I was trying to think the other day. And then she sort of, didn't she have referee cards?
Yeah, she did,
Ben. And she went to me, you out, get out. It was when I did the Guinness one on a club. So, I mean,
I remember that.
And then I think Craig said to her, for God's sake, we're making a comedy.
She was terrible. Craig's the worst, isn't he? You know, for laughing.
Oh, God, I can't even look him in the eye. I had to look in his head. I never looked him in the eye, ever, no matter what scene we were doing.
I remember when we did that, there's a scene in it when it's Mel's 21st. Do you remember that one? And I'm sat next to him, and she says, I was just wondering, Joe, if you DJ for my 21st. And he's like, me? What, me? You want me? Oh, I'll tell you what, Melanie. I can't remember, something like, once you book Jumping Joe's Crazy Road show, you're in safe hands. Well, he couldn't get to the line. And at the end, they banned everybody, one by one. So she got rid of, I think Chrissy was delivering the line to him.
Oh, she was still going afterwards, Chrissy. She was just laughing.
She got sent out. I got sent out. And then the first was doing, I want you to do it. He was doing the lines with no to thingy my 21st. And he was still bloody laughing at her, you know.
Oh, that was the best day ever.
We had loads of days like that.
Oh, we did have loads of... I mean, the fact is as well, we never really finished. We used to go out on the night time as well. We'd go to the bloody V&A, and I think... Yeah, I remember the Press Club. Yeah.
We used to go there. Well, the V&A, we had some right wild dudes in there, just jumping around all over the place, dancing around.
What's her that plays Janice Bass's... Oh, Vicky Entwistle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody... Yeah.
That night, and she says, I don't like to be called Janice. And as she was leaving, we all went, bye, Janice.
Oh, no, yeah.
She was
human. Yeah, she was annoying. No, it was just great. I mean, as I say, like, it is only afterwards when you look back and you think, wow, I thought all these jobs would be like this, but far from it.
I've had some, you know, when I've worked, just like when I worked for Kay Mellor and doing like in the club, I think that's the toughest job I ever had.
Yeah.
And that was woman to woman. And you think she was very tough. I remember her saying to me once, yeah, you did comedy, didn't you, Lorraine? I went, yeah. She said, yeah, you can tell.
Bloody hell. Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah, you know, 7 years of trolleyed when sometimes it was such a I mean, you know, comedy is really tough to do because, you know, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is, you know.
I think it's one of the things, and I think that's, you know, it sounds a bit, you know, falutin and whatever, but I think if you are enjoying it, I think you can tell on screen that everybody gets on. I think you can feel, you know, because if there was animosity between, you know, you'd have to be bloody good actors, and obviously I'm not, but, you know, you'd have to be so to be able to pull it off and make it look like it's warm. But it genuinely was, you know, and you, there was like a genuine affection between you you and Mark, and obviously me and Craig have known each other for God knows how many years, so that was there. You know, Chrissy and John really bonded, didn't they? But the, you know, father and daughter kind of thing. They loved each other, you know what I mean? And it was really, it was really lovely. And I think that's why people love it, really. I mean, they just see the affection for it. It's never gone away. That's why it's still so popular as it is now.
Oh, God, it is. I couldn't believe it when it sort of came back on the BBC. And I thought, thank Christ, where was it? I mean, it was on day for a while, I think, and then it just disappeared. I thought, I don't know what you do, you people do. And I never knew why you never got another series, because there was one more in that, two more.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, to be honest with you, so I think, I'm not sure if I told the story about that, but hindsight's a great thing. So when we'd done series two, we went back, the Beeb was saying, oh, great, we're going to do series three. And if you remember, all the episodes were always on about at 10:30 on BBC Two. You know, they were never... So we went in and said, look, you know, we think we've... Because the figures were great, and the AI figure, which is like the audience index thing, which is how much people have enjoyed the show, was through the roof, you know. And they were like, oh, no, well, we can't guarantee that. So we were saying, but, you know, what else have you got? You know, not being funny, but it's, you know, it's really building this. No, we're not... So we sort of went, right, and we'd started writing Sunshine then. And so we just said, look, it's, you know, it's a lot of the words, and we want, you know, we want you to put it on before 10 o'clock. So then, of course, they came back and said, well, we can't, if you're not, you know, it's 10:30 or nothing, sort of threatened us with it. So we just said, oh, well. We put it on the back burner then for a bit and have a think about it. And then we got Sunshine off the ground. And then it just, you know, it all changes then, doesn't it? All the commissioners change. But even after, you know, I think it's one of those that it's, you know, it is of its time. I mean, you look at stuff now, everything's about, which is great, I know, and I'm nothing against it. It's like about diversity and being, you know, having young people, you know. Yeah. I mean, we had quite a generational thing going on, but I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know. You're right. When they change and, you know, things don't happen, do they? They're right. They go right. But then, you know, I mean, I like the fact it's quite cultish now. I love the fact that everyone loves it and everyone in it was great. I'm not just saying because I was in it. I'd meant the whole thing. We had so much fun. I can remember so much about it. Some things I've forgotten, but most things are there for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Working with lovely Chrissy and... You know, we just did, and Jimmy McAvoy, my God.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah, he's great, wasn't he, Jim? Oh, that was it. I mean, things you guys, I remember all the girls were really sort of thick as thieves, weren't you? Because you used to go out all the, I mean, you're still all, I mean, we're all still sort of friends, but I know that you and the girls kind of, you know, are always sort of keep in touch and this, that, and the other, which is just.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, now
it's 20
and
years ago, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're all still mates. That day we met, I think that day, I didn't know Maxine, I didn't know Chrissy, but Chrissy knew Max, I think. Yeah. And from that day forward, that was it for us in Kempo. She lives around the corner, you know, I was just saying to her. Just lives up the road from me.
Oh, does she?
Brilliant. Yeah. I went to see her at the Royal Exchange, you know, she was in Betty with Maxine, and she was marvellous, honest to God.
Was she?
She was just, she was brilliant.
Yeah. Again, it's, you know, what's great about it is, like Rodney, though, I mean, he did have comic timing, and like Ken, well, everybody... You know, it is hard to get that sometimes. You know what I mean? You know, you work with people and you just think, oh man, they've not got that comic timing that you want, and you have to sort of try and coax it or do something in the edit to try and build it in. You know, but everybody had that. in it, and it was just, and it's a joy really, especially when you know you've written the lines and then you hear them coming out like, and you think, oh great, you know, because it just adds more to it, you know, it's fantastic. It's really,
well,
really
good. I always thought that you wrote with us in your, we were in your head when you wrote with Casters, so because I always found the lines to be brilliant to do because they were for me.
Yeah.
As you wrote them for me, you know what I mean? It was such a pleasure, and Mark was the same, and then we could like just work off each other and
That was a great thing, I think, because you know, a lot of that, I mean, you added so many layers, so much, you know, the lines are there, the lines, but all the, like, the affection between you and Eddie, you know, holding hands and all that, and the, you know, and then him doing all his hand gestures and you with your cig sort of hunched up in a corner and all that. I mean, that's all you know what I mean? But that's just what's joyful, really, because you're just seeing the lines you've written and then somebody taking them and developing a character through it. You know, it's just fantastic, you know what I mean? It's just great. And again, you know, I come back to the fact that people just, you know, it's just, you know, when it was on iPlayer, it just went mental again, you know?
Oh, yeah, it always does. If you put a picture on or you go on or they put like a scene on, you know what I mean? I mean, one of my favourite ones is when the boys come back from the races. Oh,
yeah.
I thought, like, you know, Daff.
Yeah. He was the
Yeah, it was our DOP.
Years
later, you know, somebody met him and speaking to him, they asked him what his favourite job was and he said early doors.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He loved, I don't know who told me now, was I working on? I might have been working on, I can't remember, solid maybe. Yeah. I know Daff Hobson. I went, oh, do you? And he said, yeah, he used to say that was his favourite show, even though he never said anything to us about that.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say much, but when he did, it was, and I thought he was just a beautiful cameraman and his work was...
Oh, his work's fantastic. I mean, it was bloody hot in that studio, though, wasn't it? Where he's complaining all the time. So you have the light, because it looks beautiful, but honest to God, the lighting was so... To bring that, to backlight it like that through the windows and everything, it looked great, but honest to God, we're there in overcoats presenting it, you know, the rains on it, and the bloody sweat, you know, coming in. In fact, it was like we'd been in the rain because we were covered in sweat. It was like we were dripping wet.
That was because it was only tiny, wasn't it? Really, it was.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, a lot bigger than it was like on the telly, but
yeah,
he'd love Daff. He hated the fact we smoked, didn't he?
Oh yeah, but he knew it looked great, didn't he? So that was his thing. Yeah.
He said to me once. He went, "I've got the cholesterol of a Chinese man." I said, "Look, fucking give him." Honestly.
Oh no, I remember one. I remember one time we did it, and he wasn't sort of one for, like you said, he was a very quiet man, really.
Yeah, he was.
And he was sort of kept himself a bit. Mm-hmm. And I'd never seen him sort of laugh the odd occasion, you know, at stuff. And you think, oh, well, that's good. But the one scene I remember it, and he couldn't compose himself. It took him about 5 or 10 minutes. And series two when Mel and his dad started singing, when he's like, what did he sing?
Stevie Wonder, wasn't it?
Yeah. You are the...
Oh, yeah.
He started singing it, and he was so crap. And Daff just lost it completely, and he couldn't bring it. I don't know, because we'd said to... It was Eamon, wasn't it? We said to Eamon, you've got to sing this. You're crap, but you've got to sing it like you're the best singer in the world. So he was there... You're the centre of my life. Pointing at everybody and all that. Well, honestly, God, it was just...
He just couldn't compose himself. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
And Adrian, Sheargold, all the time.
I know.
What was his notes to me? More smoke.
Yeah. he didn't sort of give notes, did he? That was his... I mean, with me... Because it was my first thing I'd done. I was thinking, oh, he's going to say this, he's going to say that. And basically, he told me to grow a beard. And then I grew a beard. And Nicola Schindler, because Nicola was exec producer on it. She came in and said, what are you doing with that beard? I said, oh, you know, Adrian said it might be good to grow one. The next thing, Adrian said, "Oh, well, I've had a chat with Nicola. Shave it off. Shave it off." And oh, he did that. Brilliant. Do you remember with Mark, with your first scene? Mm-hmm. He got Mark to sort of pull his sort of like wet his hair down and look a bit sort of I don't know. Do you remember? And it so Mark's hair was all like matted sort of down, really. It wasn't like it. And he put this track around him and filmed this scene around him when he and. We were like, what's going on? And he looked a bit like one of a bloke that might hang outside school gates. Do you know what I mean? Not for any great purposes. So not, you know, not like the dodgy ice cream man.
No.
But we were like, oh no, he looks too sinister. You know, he looks a little bit like, you know, the bloke that you tell your kids to cross the road from, yeah, you know, when he's walking fast.
Yeah.
So we got him. Anyway, we reshot it. Mark would remember.
Yeah, he
because,
would.
Because yeah. I remember thinking, oh, bloody hell, you know what I mean? Me and Craig were like, oh, no, we need to, you know, people yeah. see this and what's no, this no, about? No.
Yeah, we were saying in the car, they weren't like it. What did they be like? Put off completely. No.
So how long was it before? So I remember you came in, didn't you, when we were in London?
I did.
And then we saw you, and you were brilliant, obviously. And then, and right. I think we got you to, I think when we first wrote it, you didn't have as many lines, to be honest.
No, I remember that, no.
And so I'm pretty sure that we gave you some of Eddie's lines.
You gave me Mark's lines, yeah, some of them you did.
Yeah.
I think it was something about the roads and the traffic lights.
Yeah, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, this.
And then we were like, oh, no, she's great. So then we were like, oh, well. Because we had this idea that you didn't really say that much.
Yeah.
But obviously, then when you came in, we were like, oh, no, we can't, you know, that's out the window now.
Okay.
And it's great. And it's just that chemistry between you and him, just fantastic, really, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's just brilliant. Yeah. But so, yeah, what I was going to ask was, how long was it? Can you remember how long it was before it actually when? How long was the gap? Can you remember?
It was quite a bit, really, before you got me in again, I think. And didn't I read again as well with Mark? I remember waiting there and reading again with Mark, I think.
Yeah.
And then we were set to go, but then I think you sent us all a message saying it had been put back, like you said. And I think we were all a bit sad about that, you know.
But
we all spoke to you and went, oh, my God, we hope it goes, you know what I mean? Because we were a little bit worried.
Yeah, well, we were.
Oh, of course you were. And I just thought, oh. And then when I remember getting the message saying we're all going, and I was working on a job and I phoned Chris. I went, oh, my God, we're going.
Yeah, yeah.
We were so delighted.
Yeah.
I had to tell you, when Max couldn't come back, you know, she phoned me. I was out, like, somewhere with John, and she rang me and she cried.
And
she said, I'm not joking, because she had to do, couldn't make it work with her. We're shameless and you.
No, and they were. They were contracted to do that second series, her and Jimmy, weren't they? So that was that.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, honest to God, she just went. She says, "I'm devastated. I'm so upset." And I went, "Oh, I said it won't be, it won't be the same without you." But you know, we're really curious.
Yeah.
She was acting, wasn't she? You know.
Oh, brilliant. She was brilliant. I mean, she was another one that, like, you know, like you. You know, she came in. You know, we saw quite a few people. Maxine came in. Bearing in mind who she is, obviously she's, you know, mega, and she's done loads of, she's an amazing actress. And she came in, and it wasn't a big part, really, her part in it, was it, Janice?
Nope.
I know we filled it out a bit from what it was, but it would have been more in the second series had she done it.
Of course.
But and she came in, and right off, you know, we'd seen quite a few people, and right off the bat, which happened more often than not, we were like, yeah, she's the one, isn't she? Yeah. And you know, The only one where we really struggled between, believe it or not, was with Mark, because with Mark we'd always imagined Eddie being a bit older than Mark was.
Oh right.
Mm. Trying to think who the other actor was. There was another actor. I probably shouldn't name his name anyway. But anyway, he was up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Who was more in the age group of that we thought, because we Mark when he came, because he's quite. Although he looked a bit older when he was on camera, But he looked quite, he's quite boyish, isn't he, really, Mark? You know, in real
life.
Oh,
he's got one of those, like, little baby faces.
Yeah, yeah. And we were like, oh. And so it took me and Craig, really, a while to get our heads around the fact. But it was just, and the guy who I think we saw, Mark will tell you, I'm sure we brought him back, like, 3 or 4 times. Right. And we were just like, yeah. Oh, you know what, we're going to. But it's the way. I remember we were doing the scene and he was following Ken, which he did in the actual scene. You know, when he comes in, gives it temperature. All right, Ken. Oh, temporary traffic rights up near Bitties. All right. Oh, really? And yeah. And when he moves to the bar, he was moving to the other end of the bar and following him up and down the bar. And that was his arc. He did that in the audition. And I think that's probably one of the things we just said, oh, that's just brilliant doing that. So yeah, it was a really, it was a weird one. And the other one was Rita, because we saw I can't remember her name. She was in the Harry Potter films. Can't remember her name now. She's quite a really quite posh actress.
Oh, I know. She's since died, hasn't she? What's up?
Yeah, I can't remember, but
she was fantastic.
Fabulous actress.
Yeah, Elizabeth something.
Elizabeth Spriggs. That's And she was amazing. She was great. But we'd seen Rita and we were just like, oh, man, Rita's so it, really. So kind of... Elizabeth was quite... and she could do the accent and stuff. But there was something about Rita that had that... Rita had, like, a kind of a knowing and a manipulative way that she had. But it was a lovely way. You know, the way she was... The way she would manipulate Ken and sort of control things.
Oh, yeah. Passive aggressive, she was.
Yeah. Yeah. But she did it in such a. In a lovely. I mean, her and Joel, again, you see, that's relationships. Basically, it was. Yeah. I think, Ben, you've said this before. Sorry, you're still here, aren't you?
I am still here.
Lorraine, wondering on.
No. This is what I said at the start. I'll set you away. No one wants to hear me.
But I think you said. Which I'd not really thought about the other week, was that it kind of was partnerships, really. You know, a series of twos, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, or I suppose the odd three with Eddie and John and Tommy, really. Yeah. You'd sometimes come in on the conversation. But it was like, you know, the cops, me and Craig, upstairs. So it was, and I'd never really thought of it about, like that. Because, it was a lot of, you know what I mean? But it was sort of partnerships, really. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, Ken and Mel. Yeah. And really.
It's just like, and that's the joy of it, isn't it? Like, you know, all the different, and when we did the dinner party, I go back to it now, and the different, that took so long to do because of all the POVs.
Oh, man, yeah.
And it was, and when I watch it now, I just think, that's just brilliant that everyone's got something to say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every little thing to Craig, you know what I mean? Me,
yeah.
And butter, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You just think, God, that's genius writing, because people don't work like that now.
Yeah.
We had time to do stuff.
Yeah.
Often. You know, rehearsal time to do things, but that doesn't happen. God.
I think that's one of the reasons why I think it's difficult. Well, we found it difficult and stuff to, and why we found it difficult in the first place to get it commissioned. Because I don't think on the reading, I mean, if you see on the page that you say we had 2 sausages, egg, beans, fried tomato cut with a zigzag edge, pineapple on the whole lot, gave Eddie me. You know, from the page, you just if you're reading it and you don't get the context that it's said in, you just think, it's like the circuses thing. If you read that, everybody going around the pub saying, do you like circuses?
Yeah.
It doesn't jump off the page as being, but Christ, that's the, you know, more people say, do you like circuses to me than anything else?
Oh, that's what I get. I get it all the time. I mean, there was a picture on me this morning somebody found when I was in Life on Mars, and somebody said, oh, do you like circuses? What the bloody hell was I going to do with anything? But people say, I bet you get fed up. I don't actually. I said, because when people say you like your work, it's a lovely thing.
Yeah.
And when you get to do a job that people love, and we don't get anything negative, no one's ever said, The only time I got it, I remember going shopping in Within Shore, right, when I lived there, and the guy said to me, oh, I love Early Girls, but I hated fucking episode 3 and you look shite. I went, and of course I didn't say this, but all right then.
What was it? What was episode 3? I don't know.
I can't bloody remember. And I just thought, maybe at that time I probably knew what episode 3 was. And I went, okay, thanks then.
Because I love that. When it was your wedding anniversary and you came in your best frock.
Yeah, that's the one. I think you just didn't.
I bet it would have been.
Yeah, it would have
noticed anything different, Ken.
I'm just making room for my buffet. My favourite line ever in the whole movie. I can't wait to say it. I can't wait to do it. Honestly. Yeah.
Do you know what? Somebody's just rung on the bell, and I better go. You carry on chatting, Ben.
All right. Okay. Carry on chatting.
No. Well, what I'll do is actually works out quite nicely because I can ask you a few questions that I just can't get to.
Go on then.
Okay.
My
first question actually was going to be: do you actually like circuses?
I absolutely don't.
Yeah. I can understand.
Yeah, I never go to them, but I do love the fact that I did that whole thing and that how Mark just come out at the end and went, what are you talking about? You know, yeah. I'll start again. Actually, you know, when I filmed that, Ben, there was a hair in the gate. I had to do it all again because cameras used to have hairs in the gates then because they're digital now. Yeah. But you used to get, like, they called it hair in the gate. So I've done it about 4 or 5 times, I think, and then I had to do it all again because it just buggered the camera up. So, like, I remember, but I loved that. I just love that scene. I really do it because it's so warm, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my other question.
Go on.
Oh, sorry, my other question was going to be, but you've just spoke about it. Can you remember what was on your oval plate?
Yeah, just like not everything. not everything, but I do remember. Well, Phil just said it. Bacon.
Yeah. Black pudding. Was it black pudding
black
on
pudding,
it as well?
I think. Yeah, black pudding. Yeah. That was one of my favourites as well to say.
But what is funny, all on a big oval plate, and he's like...
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't... Like I said before, I think, you know, that's why some people can't read off the plate. I think if you're, you know, and I think I've said this before with commissioners, is they... Particularly because the comedy department is still in London, I think a lot of people employed there are from that world.
It's like when they write stuff, and you just think we don't talk like that. We have a rhythm to our voices.
Yeah,
you know, and they never get that. They never get. And when people pretend to be Anchor, just go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You're not doing it.
And then we have got a singy-songy to our voices. I am a bit pentameter, like Shakespeare.
We are
that, you know, we don't say the end of our words sometimes. It just but I think there's a lot of people just don't understand what we say sometimes.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think sometimes... Because I remember, you know, saying, yeah, we could do subtitles on some of this. because when we auditioned Jimmy, We had Liam down as Irish at first. So we said, can you do an Irish accent? And he was like, yeah, of course. He did his Irish accent, which is great. So well, could you, if you wanted to do it in Mancunian, could you do it in Mancunian? So he did Mancunian, was great. What about Scottish? So, well, I am Scottish. So we were like, okay, we'll do that. And we're like, well, you can do the other accents, but you might as well do that one because, you know. And he was absolutely delighted to be able to do it in his own accent.
Yeah, I know.
And he was like, yeah. And sometimes we'd say, oh, can you clean that word up a bit? So, well, I will, but not. I can't do, I don't want to clean it up too much because I'll get the piss taken out of me when I go back home. You know what I mean? So yeah. We were like, all right, okay. But he was another one. He had to come back to do some additional diet, you know, some ADR, and he started filming the second series of Shameless, and he was another one that was like, oh, God, man, you know, I wish I was back here doing this, you know. I think
it was hard work, Shameless, for them all, I think.
Yeah,
it was the best of jobs, to be quite honest with
you.
I had an interview, I think, a long time after, someone was asking me about Early Doors, and he went, I go back in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard him say that it's the best telly job that he's ever done.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen him for years, you know, but Chrissy still keeps in contact with him, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because he used to live not far from her in Stoke Newington, but she's back here now, Chrissy. So, you know, but I think she still keeps in touch. And I think he's the same boy he ever always was.
People say, you know, say, oh, what was he like? What was he like then? And they want you to, you know, you can tell by the ask, you want to say, oh, is it right?
Horrible.
But I said, oh, he's lovely lad, deserves his success, just great. Never, you know, no trouble with him, he's just great.
And I've
and I've seen him since. He loved it, he's just part of the gang, wasn't he? You know what I mean?
If anyone had come into that job, they'd have always been part, we would have welcomed them in. When you go on some jobs, you're not welcome at all. We always tried to do that on Trollid when people came in, you know, because we had to meet a May on Trollid. I mean, you know, it was beautiful.
That was great, yeah.
It was great because, again, she got all the best lines. All the best lines. She got it all. And we used to think, no, because she can do it.
Yeah.
You
know, oh, she's great, Rita. Fabulous.
I know she's not so well now, but...
No, I know. Yeah, which is a shame. But
it is. I mean, I'm sorry Mark and I couldn't do the show. But to be honest, you know, I would never have done it without him. You know, I couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, it was really difficult because I mean, Mark was trying to make it work because he was filming that Shakespeare and Hathaway, wasn't he?
And we'd written Hathaway. Yeah.
And we'd written, we'd written all the lines. We'd written the whole thing. And then at the last minute, so that's why we had to kind of, you know, bring, you know, the line was, or you'll never get two the same as Eddie and Joan, and it was like Freddie and Jean or something. So they were basically the same, because you know, because it was all there, it was all ready to go.
Of course.
It was one of them. It is what it is, isn't it? But I mean, it's always great. I mean, we went off, you know.
Joan said it was. Yeah. I asked her all about it and everything. And funny enough, I was in a room with Vicky Binns the other day. I was in the room. I've never met her. I went to see her when we were working in Bristol. She was in Singing in the Rain, but I'd never met her. And I went to her. Do you know what? I said, it's so weird this, isn't it? I said, but I'm so glad that you got to do the character. I said, I'm dead pleased for you.
Oh, she's lovely, Vicky, isn't she?
She's again, absolute a beauty. She really is.
Yeah. Again, it's one of them things that, you know, having worked with, I mean, I don't know if you say it, but having worked with somebody who was complete, when we did Sunshine, I think, have I said this publicly,
no.
Ben,
or
not?
I was on
Sunshine,
wasn't I?
Yeah, you were on Sunshine, weren't you? So you know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, but yeah.
It's one of them that once that's happened to you, you know, remember saying to Craig after that, you know what, whoever we cast, we should make sure. I'd rather cast somebody that's not quite as much as somebody else, but they're really nice, affable, you can get on with. Because you have to spend a lot of time with them, don't you? You know, you have to spend, you know, you're spending 6 weeks of a time together. Yeah. And you're just seeing those same people every day. So it can become, if this, you know, by the end of it, you know, if they're not nice people, they're not friendly people to work with, you know, it's like, you know, it develops into little groups of, I mean, you know, of people who don't like them, or we don't. So that's why I've said to Craig ever since, you know, which is why when we did the stage show, you know what I mean? It's just, it's so much better to get really, well, it's essential really, because you're spending so much time in each other's pockets. You know, if you don't, if they're not nice people, you end up wanting to kill them by the end of it.
Oh, you do. Sometimes you get told people aren't nice people. I think I did a job with Michael Kitchen and they said, oh my God, you know, and I went on there. He was absolutely brilliant to me.
Yeah.
It was so nice. Yeah. We were a lot of improvisation and he went to me, I'm going to be terribly awful to you today, Louie. And I went, that's all right. Everyone's like that with me anyway. And he just went, yeah. And he was absolutely, I was told, oh, you know, be careful around him. Don't be saying that. I thought, well, have I got to be careful around other people?
Yeah. You know,
don't do it. I mean, I know what happened with that sunshine. And when I saw Craig, he didn't look well. He looked like he was a real strain on both of you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it was.
You know.
And it's like, you know, the filming of it was 6 weeks. And it might have been longer than that, actually. No, it was longer than that. And it's like, what should have been? I mean, it took us years, not years. It took, you know, like, well, over a year to write it. Because and then what should be a sort of a joy, really, to film was just like walking through treacle because, you know, it's such a kind of, it's just so difficult. And it was like it was being made difficult on purpose just because they were truculent and arrogant and didn't want to be part of the team. And he was just rude with everybody. And you just think, what joy are you getting out of that? You're sucking the life out of it.
Yeah, and then when they tell you, look at you, and they say about your acting yourselves, and I've worked with many people, and you're just thinking, oh, you're going to do it like that? And you just think, well, yeah, I am. You know, what are you going to do about it? Because you've got to stick up for yourself, you know what I mean? You can't help people. Why would you like that? But it happens, and I've seen it done, and I've worked with people thinking, God, why are you like, why?
Yeah.
You know, why are you like that? Don't be awful.
Yeah.
You know, really.
The thing is, in any other walk of life, you wouldn't get, you know, you wouldn't get hired again, would you?
No.
That's the thing. Yeah, but they do. Yeah, no. And that, well, not by me.
Oh, no. Well, you wouldn't, would you?
You know what I mean?
How could you put yourself through that?
No, you wouldn't. Yeah.
You get paid an awful lot of money to be dicks.
I know, yeah.
I'm sorry to say. You know, along when you in the business and you have worked with all sorts of people like you have and I have, you just think it's so much of an effort to be horrible. Why? It's so easy just to go there, do your lines, avoid the furniture, go home.
Yeah. Which is why, coming back right back to what we started with, really, in saying that, you know, with the early doors, you said, oh, we welcome everybody in. When everybody new came in, Ben, we'd all start singing Concert, ESL, home, Concert. All of us would be there. And because somebody new came in a bit, and we just start singing that. Yeah. And it was like, you know, and that's what it was like. And I genuinely believe that transmits somehow in the performances. And then when we're all having the little group chats together, you know, and we're talking about, like, say, Craig's dinner party, or do you like circuses, or Tommy going on about bloody, oh, everything was organic in the old days, and then they had and all that stuff. It's just like a collective, you know. We're all in this together. In it together, exactly.
Honestly, it was my favourite job. I know I keep saying, I say it to everyone when they tweet me and they ask me stuff, and I go, you know, do you all still see each other? I said, yeah, mostly. We were sad when Rodney died, and we were. Really bloody sad. I just didn't, you know. I still to this day miss him. Think he's going to be there. You know what I mean? I just don't believe he's gone. I don't think.
Well, even with the tour, to be honest with you, we run, you know, we knew he was in the home, so we were like, oh, you know, well, how bad is he really? Because I mean, he doesn't have to. We could get him a chair, couldn't we? And we could.
Yeah, so.
And then when we saw and then we spoke to him, and he wasn't right, was he? You know what I mean? And
he really couldn't remember.
He's losing his memory and so on. And it would have been, you know, we were like, we were just saying it wouldn't be fair to put him through it, because you'd be going touring all over the place and all that. He just wouldn't have been up to it.
Rita was the same, I think, once it was.
Yeah, Rita was the same, exactly. Well, you know, everyone's getting older, aren't they? And it's like, you know,
Rita's ancient now.
I don't know, we're all there, new hips, new knees and all that.
New teeth.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
Go to Turkey for me, yeah. Yeah, well, Turkey air, Turkey tea, penis reduction. You know what I mean?
We live in the northern quarter, but we're not cool. We must be the uncoolest people who live here. That's it.
I don't want to take all I could if I was allowed to, but I'm not going to because it's Friday. I'm going to couple of quick.
I'm not going on the piss. You're all right.
Right. Couple of questions, all wrapped into one. We've mentioned Mark Benton, Eddie a few times.
Yeah.
So, what was it like working with Mark? How did you develop your relationship? And Phil, how would you describe that as the writer looking, watching your words come to life exactly how you want them to come to life?
It was instantaneous. We just sat down, got together. I remember meeting him. I remember we all got together and we'd all had a drink in the V&A, I think. And then we were rehearsing next day, Mark and I. And it just was, he was just so kind. He is so brilliant, so giving. You know, and it was the same. It just worked everywhere. He didn't want to be top dog and I didn't want to be because I'm not like that. And it was just brilliant. We just got on and still today, he's my TV husband. You know, what the best one I've ever had, I think.
I always, in the writing of it, I always thought that, because what we wanted to do, you see a lot of people, so Eddie and Jonah are sort of naive but happy, aren't they? I mean, they're not the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree, to be quite honest. And that's an understatement. But we didn't want them to just be one-dimensional either. We didn't want them to be just, you know, like sort of, I mean, you know, I'm not having a go at fools and horses here, because obviously, it's, you know, genius. But somebody like Trigger, all he ever does is say sort of stupid stuff, doesn't he? Silly lines. But we knew that that's what they wanted them to be. Also, we didn't want it to feel like we were picking on them or being cruel in any way. Do you know what I mean?
Get you.
Because I think that's easily done. You can even go, have you seen them two? Bloody hell, da-da-da-da-da-da. But everybody loves Eddie and Joe. Mm-hmm. And there's something about, and I saw this more, and Mark and Lorraine brought this out much more than was in the page. They are the perfect match for each other. They are the happiest people in that pub, without doubt. And yet they are lead the simplest of life. They have no expectation for everything. They don't want for anything, even though they've got bugger all. And there's something about, you know, I mean, that's the scene that sums them up, which I think is great, which is a beautiful scene, which is, and they play brilliantly, was when John's mother's ill, and so the phone was going to be cut off because they've been ringing her all the time, and we've taken the card round, and it's so poignant and lovely, and you know, so it just shows that depth of feeling for them. And then 2 minutes later, he's saying, I tell you what, love, should we get a chippy tea tonight? Why not? You can't take it with you, can you? So that is just them, you know what I mean? It's sort of, they're living by the seat of the pants all the time.
Yeah.
But they're happy, and they're happy with each other. And in many ways, I think, you know, I look at it and think, God, I want to be Eddie and Joe. I want to be that couple who just live a simple life, don't want for much. They've got each other. And that's all they need, really. That's a beautiful thing. And I think that's something, yeah, you know, and they come in the pub, everybody loves them. Anybody from outside comes in and tries to have a go, we'll betide you.
Yeah.
For hours.
Because you'll stick up for them.
Yeah.
Always, like, you know, we always love that, Mark and I. We always love doing our scenes. And we always find them really funny. And, you know, and we always used to... Yeah, we used to really work them because the lines were so brilliant, so beautiful. You don't get lines like that now. I don't think I've ever, when I read things, I go, why can't you write like I can understand them?
Yeah.
I mean, that I can do them and put something into them, you know.
What's great as well, it's the the space in between the lines that's really good. So like in the circuses scene, when you're asking everybody, it's like, and there's so many things about that that are just, it's like, do you like circuses? No. All right, okay. Do you like circuses? No, I've never been to one. Do you like, and it's just got, and it doesn't stop. Yet nobody says, everybody answers, don't they? Nobody turns around and says, we stop bloody going on about circuses. Everybody goes, well, kids like, kids like it. Yeah. What about you, Ken? And then, of course, when he comes back and says, what are we talking about, circuses, Eddie? Ooh, do you like circuses? Or I was like, oh.
Relentless.
So we're never rude. Nobody's Tommy's the odd. I'm bloody definitely staying on my own. But there is a kind of, but there's a warmth even in that. There's a like, you know. Mm-hmm. And Tommy, even Tommy, you know, Tommy probably loves them. You know, if he had any love in him, but it'd be them.
Yeah,
because everybody else, you know, I mean. You know, when it says, when they were taking the card round, that Tommy put his winnings back in and all that.
Oh, yeah, he did.
That's a real, like, that's a moment that. Mm-hmm. It's like.
Yeah.
Oh. And I love the fact that it, I shouldn't love the fact, but we brought, yeah, because Eddie would know what team won it. So he didn't really, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Nobody would write that in generally. They'd say, oh, no. Wow, did he? Because you're going on. But there's room for that. Oh, yeah, Huddersfield Town. And it doesn't make it. Any funnier or more poignant, but it makes it more real because you know Eddie. If Eddie didn't say that, it wouldn't be Eddie. That's what he would say.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know what I mean. So it's they not. Were, I just
they're
think,
just
yeah.
innocent, weren't they? Just beautifully innocent.
Yeah. Didn't see any. You know, going in the supermarket to look at the television
newspapers.
Listings,
I know.
And writing them all. Yeah, how long are you there? For about half an hour. Half an hour to look at the television. Yeah, well, Joan's got to write them all down.
She can't afford to buy the TV. That's why I always think about Tommy. He wouldn't have sat with us if he didn't like us. It would have been on totally moved somewhere.
Yeah, else. He would.
I can't bear the pair of them, even though he used to say he couldn't bear us. Really,
yeah,
no.
But he would have his little... Or, you know, when he had his moments when he's talking about his wife, you know, his dead wife. And he was going about the gardens and, you know, he's got a little plaque in there and all that. It's just so great. It's so, you see that kind of warmth between them then. And that's the thing. I hate watching sitcoms where there's a character in it that is you just think that you don't like. Because I'm like, well, what am I watching this for? I don't like that person. I don't like that character. Why?
No.
And there's not enough that's redeemable about them.
No.
And I don't actually consciously think that. I just, you know, think, oh, God, they're a bit of a thing. Nah, I'm not into this.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
It is. And they don't... Oh, I don't even... Sometimes I don't even understand them. I just think, I don't know what's going on with those characters. I don't know... You know, they try to make it too cool now. The only one I really loved was Fleabag. I loved her.
Yeah.
I thought she just was like...
Yes. Phoebe's fantastic.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And all those characters were so well-defined, weren't they? You know, and she just, you know... Because they weren't like... That was her best friend, wasn't it, that plays her sister?
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't want her, and she's the one who didn't take her, so...
Yeah, yeah, and that's that.
You know, I just thought she was amazing.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I think, you tell you what's really, what I watched, which is one of the best comedies I've seen on BBC for years, is Colin from Accounts.
How brilliant was that?
I loved that. I thought that was great. Really gentle and funny and warm. Yeah. It's one of the best. Yeah, one of the best things I've seen for a long, long time.
And everyone's watched it again. That was quietly put on there. No one said anything about it.
Yeah, it was like late at night, wasn't it? Yeah, that's what happens.
Like you say, that's what they do, don't they? You know, and I don't, you know, because as you said, that wasn't the demographic of Early Doors.
Everybody watched Early Doors, right? I get when I'm in the pub, I get like, you know, 20 somethings coming in, being, oh, it's you from Bad Dad. Yeah. Oh, we love that. And the fact is, when we were on, there was no iPlayer, so you either watched it or you didn't. You know,
that's right.
And when we were on, if you remember the first series, we were up against I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Basically, we were on after the results for I'm a Celebrity. So everybody was, during the results round. So that's, so we did really well to get a decent audience for the first series. And then, second series, same thing. They put us on, it wasn't I'm a Celebrity, but they put us on like half past 10. Yeah. It was like, what are you doing?
That's it now, isn't it? What can we do about it? I did hear a rumour, and I can't remember where I heard it from, that Prince Harry used to like it.
Yeah, I heard that as well. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think it was I think it was something, it was in the press somewhere or another. I don't know, but I've heard that.
Yeah.
If I ever meet him one day, and we'll remember when. Do you remember when we were in the V&A? And what's the guy that's rumored to be his dad? What's he called? Princess Di had the affair.
The ginger-haired guy, like, obviously that's why he looks like him. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were trying, he was on Stars in Their Eyes or something. James Hewitt. We were bladdered and we were going, come on, come on. And I was saying, Craig, look, I'll try and keep it. You try and pinch one of his hairs out of his head and we'll try and get a DNA. completely bladdered. And all right, that sounds like a good idea. And Craig stood behind me and I'm like, anyway, so what are you doing on Star? Why is it doing all that? We never bottled it.
When you're bladdered and all that stuff comes out.
I think
they hated us in that V&A because we
did.
We were mad. Weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the first night we met? And I think Lucy sicked all down the front.
Yeah. She was a producer.
This is going to be a great job.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Yeah, Lucy fell asleep in a chair, I think.
She did. And then we were doing quizzes and talking about music. And I remember us just got... And I think, did Jimmy jump over the bar?
Yeah. Oh, Maxine was the best. She would be pouring herself. She would go behind the bar. It was like 2 a.m. or whatever.
It was, and she was...
She'd get behind the bar and she'd start trying to pour herself a drink.
And I think an alarm went off.
And then
Craig said, it's all right. The kleptomaniacs, I'll pay for it in the morning.
Happy
day. I do remember that night, though. It was just like, we'd only just met each other, really. We'd done a read through.
Yeah.
And then we went for lunch and then we went to that bar. I don't think we
went. Oh, man. We had loads of nights like that, didn't we? Really?
We did. I think me and the girls went out one night. We went to that Manchester Evening News do that they used to have. We got to Maxine's apartment at 6 o'clock in the morning. We had a micro sleep. Wayne was picking us up half an hour later. And he went, look at the state of you lot.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, them makeup girls, I tell you, they earned the money on that job, didn't they?
Out at night time in the van, we wave at all the autograph hunters there, the Cornish Street. Just go,
Who's that? Who? Yeah.
Who the bloody hell's that?
Yeah,
brilliant. It was. I mean, it's a shame that's all gone now, hasn't it, really? I mean, the warehouse is still there, but everything else.
Yeah, it's all, I did the Coronation Street of the week, but it's very like, You know, you're in, you do your scene, you're out. It's like there's no hanging around there. You know what I mean? You've not like you've got time to get really to know anybody. They've got there's three units going on every day. Because it's 3 hours of telly a week, isn't it? So they're kind of,
No time to rehearse, just go.
No, you don't get a chance to, you block it a little bit. You're basically, go, and then you get it right or you don't, and if you don't, that's it. You can't go, can I just go back? I think there's none of that. I went, I said to the first AD, I'm really bursting for a week, can I go for a week? She said, no, we need to get this. And I've never known that ever anywhere when somebody wants to go for a week, it's no, we need to just shoot this first, and then we're gonna, and then when we turn around, you can go, when you turn the cameras around,
I've never heard of that in my life,
I know. Yeah.
Jesus.
My first day. So I was like, okay.
Carried on. All right, miss.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. By the way, the wardrobe needs to I need a new pair of pants.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, you'll have to get one of those.
So this incontinent character that I'm playing in Coronation Street.
You have to put an appy on next time you go to work.
Yeah.
We were like that on trolley though, it was very same, even though and I never found any of it like it was exhausting and it was like it's supposed to be in a comedy and we were like that, bloody hell. You know, because sometimes it was just trial and error of depending who we had. And then we had one actor and I can't really name him. And honest to God, if I'd have had a gun, I'd have shot him in the head.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely dead. I wouldn't have cared because he, at all. Because he just used to mess around all the time. And then when you were doing your lines, he'd be pissing about in the back.
Yeah.
And nobody ever reined him in. And I thought, I don't know how this is because I wish I could have done, but I couldn't say anything. I just have to let him do what he did. But oh my God.
Yeah.
He drove us nuts all the time.
I think the great thing, the experience of doing the Royal Family, I think, and the way that, because Caroline was made that set, you know, and Craig, obviously, really friendly and nice and warm to be on. So when we did Early Doors, we, you know, it was like that same thing. You know, we wanted to be a really, you know, so we met everybody, didn't we? We got them to put on a load of food and a load of ale before we even... And everyone stayed at the V&A or if they lived, what
we did
went
that night now, but we did.
And that was the night before the read through. Usually go to a read through, and but that was before the read through. We'd not even read, you know.
No, it was great.
So we wanted, so it was like straight away developing that kind of, you know, everyone like, you know, really getting on and all that. So it was just fab,
And most of us were northerners, so it makes a difference. I don't know why it just does.
Cool.
Oh, I don't know, you know. I wish we could do it all again. Yeah,
so do I, mate. So do tens of thousands of other people.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is that, in a way, that's the kind of galling thing about it. Well, not 10, there'd be hundreds of thousands of people, you know, who are out there who love early, who, you know. I mean, there's 60,000 people on that Twitter account that just watch the clips, you know.
Yeah.
But, again, I don't think, you know, I sort of think about it as well, you know, maybe the channels are showing us what they think we should be watching and not maybe what we want to watch.
I know.
That's you know.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
I know, it's a shame, really. What would you do if you were to do it again? How would you do it? How different would it
be? God, I don't know. I mean, we got away with doing the stage show. We put a smoking area outside that me and Craig would stand at, outside, sort of at the front of the stage, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, so. You know, it would be like at the back, you know, you'd have a little canopy over like we did, you know, and because Ken wouldn't have paid much money. And you'd sort of, so that would be, that's, you know, and not because nobody, obviously you can't smoke in a pub anymore.
No.
I think nobody really wanted, like with the stage show and stuff, nobody really wanted it to change. Nobody wants it to change. Nobody want, you know, I think I'm internet dating on it, you know what I mean? Which, you know. So, you know, there are references, you know, to the modern world, but the characters are roughly the same. I mean, I go in that pub across the road, which I've been going in now for the last 10 years. Same people go in, saying the same things. People don't really change, do they?
No.
You know what I mean?
No, they don't.
You know, but basically the characters are still the same. Yeah, they get older, you know, there's more illness or whatever, and you don't have to deal with that. Yeah. But, you know,
it's
just the way it is, isn't it?
Around the corner, and if you were to go in there, it's the same old thing. Even though the younger people, still older people go in there, and it's still the same layout. It's got no music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah, I've got a great pub around the corner. It's just fantastic, you know, it's great. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm in there all.
Everyone always says to me, like, where is that pub?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a set. Yeah. No, they don't believe you, you know. They really don't.
No. I think I know that. I've been in that pub.
I know those people you're talking about.
Yeah. I know.
Lovely.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, brilliant. Oh, lovely to see you again, Lorraine. All right. Take care, lovely.
Remember to like, subscribe, leave a rating, tell your friends, and we'll see you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.